It's 10 a.m.
Wake up time!
And you're listening to Utah's most listened to sports radio show. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G. Presented by WCF Insurance. Reminding you to be careful out there. On 97.5 1280 The Zone in the Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans, get DJ out of there, man.
Hey, I'm here, man.
It's time to make the donuts.
We're ready to go, man. I'm on time.
I just know how it is. Like, I'm not.
I love him.
I do, too.
I love him. We were just talking about this Big 12 situation. And I'll tell you, Scotty, it kind of feels like a replay of 2010, just a little bit. I mean, a little bit. It's just little glimpse.
I even saw Orange Bloods getting in the mix yesterday, so it's like, uh-oh, something must be going down if they're chirping again.
Wait, are you not joking this time?
No, I saw
Orange Bloods is actually jumping into this.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. I can't even believe that, you know, this is coming up. One thing I'm not fully understanding though, the rights end in 2025, but this guy that wrote this piece from the Houston Chronicle was saying that the SEC would make the announcement that Texas and Oklahoma were a part of it coming up shortly. Like he was saying, let me see if I put it in my notes. I was able to grab some notes from this piece. He said it was a couple weeks. So I'm trying to figure out, are we talking about a couple weeks or are we talking about 2025 before Texas and Oklahoma are jumping in with the SEC?
Well, I think they will announce the addition of them to the conference within a couple weeks and then announce what date they'll actually be joining. So, you know, this thing's going to get stuck in court for a while. I mean, like, these schools could be on the hook for, like, $70 million. And so it's going to be, do they join in 23? Do they join in 22? Do they have to wait all the way to 25? Like, that's the details on that. But it's pretty interesting where a couple of stories I was reading last night, they're like, well, they can absorb these costs and they'll – you know, it's not going to be $70 million because they'll get tied up in court and they'll settle for a certain amount. But either way, it sounds like either the SEC or Oklahoma or Texas or a combination of the three of them are going to have to come up with a lot of money. But it doesn't seem like it's hindering any of the movement.
Well, it is kind of interesting, though, Scotty. Have we ever – well, and maybe we did. I mean, maybe we saw an announcement that, hey, we're leaving this conference and then we play in it for the next 3 years or 2 years. But I can't – imagine a scenario where this guy from the Houston Chronicle, his name's Brent Zwinnerman, he said that they're going to hear the announcement within a couple of weeks. And as you mentioned, 2025 is the agreement, the grant of rights agreement that expires. So he's saying in a couple of weeks it's announced, but would the Big 12 be like, oh, yeah, we'll just keep you around for the next 3 years?
That's a great question, and I think that's what's going to – I mean, obviously it'll be this year. And remember, like, Utah and – I don't know if BYU had already made their announcement about independence, but I remember being at a Mountain West Conference media day, Kyle Whittingham's last, where he said, hey, look, we're going to the Pac-12, that's it, and I'm not going to talk about it. So, you know, Utah played in a conference for a year knowing that they were going to leave after that year. But not two and not three.
Certainly not three.
Not four. Not five. Sorry.
That I can remember. But this really leaves a broad, interesting conversation because the other thing I was doing is I was looking at the Big 12 conference because, of course, we're in Utah. The main speculation is going to be, all right, BYU, go fill in one of the two spots that's left open in the Big 12. And I don't know how much weight the Big 12 will carry without Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And I was kind of looking at what BYU's schedule would be if they were in the Big 12. And this would be their schedule. And kind of picture this. I want BYU fans to kind of picture that if this were to happen, which all of this is just for sake of conversation. And if the Big 12 were to able to retain the Power 5 conference label, which gave them admittance to the Big 6 or the New Year's 6 and all the other great things that come with being a Power 5, including, you know, bigger TV contracts and more revenue distribution, this would be BYU's schedule. It would be Iowa State, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, Baylor, Kansas, Kansas State, TCU, and West Virginia. That would be, you know, those are the schools that would be. Now, I still think, Scotty, and you just listened to that schedule, I still think that that's slightly better than what you would have had if you were to join in with the AAC, which would be, you know, Cincinnati, Central Florida, Houston, Navy, Tulane, South Florida. You know, those are the teams out of the AAC. It would be slightly better, but and maybe it would be better than Independence, but I don't know how much that Big 12 conference would be able to control TV revenue. I don't know if that Big 12 conference can hold together without Texas and Oklahoma.
That's a good point. And I mean, let's be honest, it'd be a hell of a basketball conference.
Yeah.
For football,
Man, it would be a great basketball conference, and I would love to see BYU take all their sports out of the West Coast Conference.
There's no
question about that. I'm so sick of that conference. You know, everybody talks about their Olympic sports, but nobody ever hears about it because they're in the West Coast Conference.
And nobody cares about the Olympic sports.
And nobody cares really about the Olympic sports. But if you're in the Big 12 and your basketball teams are competing against Iowa State,
Texas Tech, Kansas State, Kansas.
Yep. I mean, we should probably throw Kansas out there first. That would become a definite coup for your men's basketball team. And maybe you could make up for the 10 years that you've stuffed them into the West Coast Conference and made them second fiddle to Gonzaga for, you know, that period of time.
Well, now the problem is now you're fourth or fifth fiddle in that conference in basketball.
Well,
on a good year,
it would definitely become more difficult to compete, no question. But imagine how much fun that would be to cover.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
What about the footprint of it too? If that's your schedule, everything that you're doing is Texas and east of Texas, or online with Texas. So.
Yeah.
It just seems like just the footprint of it would be intriguing for BYU too.
You got to make that weird trip to West Virginia.
Yeah, yeah, that weird 5,000-mile trip to West Virginia for sure.
I don't care what John Denver has to say. I want no part of that place.
He's full of crap, man.
Hey, you doing all right? Everything good?
Doing great. Yeah, doing great, brother. This is it's just been a crazy day trying to ingest everything that's going on with the world of college football. Here we are just a few weeks away from kicking off college football, and we're back to this conversation because it's not just about Texas and Oklahoma. It's about the ramifications of all of this and how it could potentially impact this state. And I think we need to talk more about it, Scotty.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's get to it. Starting lineup right now, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the Starting Lineup.
Starting Lineup.
Presented by University of Utah Health.
Gotta love it!
On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
I'm going to say about 80%. I mean, Texas A&M is going to fight it, but the numbers
else.
The numbers might just be too heavy for anybody to put up a big fight.
Yeah.
Not 19 extra million or whatever, 16 million a year. That's a lot of money, and you know, lots of things have happened in the last 2 months that push us in this direction. The NIL, Supreme Court cases. Some television decisions. A lot of things are pushing us this direction.
That's Barry Trammell talking about the SEC leveraging if they were to add Texas and Oklahoma, and Scotty potentially increasing their revenue distribution by 16 $1 million per university. I think the SEC was somewhere around, and you would know better than me, but $44-45 million in distribution last year. You put Texas and Oklahoma in there, you make that 16-team conference, and now you've got, think about this, you've got almost every major label with the Florida Gators and Georgia Bulldogs and Alabama and Auburn and LSU, and you've got these powerhouses, and then you add Texas and Oklahoma. And in this world of big money business that college football has become, that will be the premier conference. They will have absolute leverage in all negotiations. They will be the chosen child of all conferences in college football. And I think you're maybe underestimating at an increase of $16 million once those 16 teams and that conference negotiates. I think that they will be heavy, heavy hitters, and they can demand that kind of money.
So I think what we've learned here is what's really, truly important, because let's be honest here, Texas has won 3 conference championships in the Big 12 in the last, I think, 30 years in football. They just haven't been great in football consistently. So if Texas wanted to get themselves in a situation where they could win and win on a consistent basis, they need to improve themselves, and they also need to stay in a conference that would allow them to do that. The Big 12 would be one of those. Come to the Pac-12, that would be an opportunity for them to win and win at a high level and get in that playoff. Texas, the way they are now, already has all the money that they could possibly use, but they want more, and if they go to the SEC, they're going to get buried in that conference. They're going to get absolutely buried in the SEC. They're not beating Alabama. They're not beating Georgia. They're not beating LSU on a consistent basis. They're not beating Florida on a consistent basis. They're going to get buried in that conference, and they're never going to sniff a college football playoff, maybe once in a blue moon. But you're right, Hans. They're going to make a ton of money, and apparently that's what it's all about. It's not about winning. It's not about trying to get in that college football playoff, because their chances of getting in there just took the first day they step in the SEC, their chances of getting that playoff diminish immensely. And now they're going to do that. But hey, good. They'll make an extra $20 million, $30 million a year, and good for them. But now you see what's really, truly important. It's not about winning. It's not about getting to the college football playoff. It's about making as much money as you can. And, hey, you know, God bless them. Go get it.
You know, you draw a few comparisons, them jumping into the SEC and how Texas would compete in the SEC. And you're right. I do think that it would be stacked up against them. And I would draw maybe a comparison of what Auburn does. It's like every once in a while, Auburn will jump in there and they'll make a splash and they'll be recognized and they'll have a great season and they'll fight for, you know, first, second, typically second, third in the SEC. I was just looking back at their recent bowl games and bowl game success. You go back to 2017, they get to the Peach Bowl against Central Florida. You go back to 2016, the Sugar Bowl. They were in the BCS National Championship game in 2013 against Florida State. You know, I think in the world of success on the football field, if they can get back to what they believe they can be, and I still believe they can be that, Scotty. I think that they're right there. I just think they need some good leadership and some good coaching. Let's see if Sarkisian's that guy. I don't know if he is or if he isn't. But I know that there's a lot of positive buzz around what he's doing right now with Texas. But I would expect them to have the similar type of success that maybe Auburn's had in that conference. Would you disagree with that?
No, I don't disagree with that. And in the, 11 years or 10 years of the college football playoff, Auburn has made one trip.
Yep.
And that was because of Cam Newton.
Yes.
And they haven't sniffed anything close ever since.
And that was in 2013, correct?
I believe so, yeah.
Because the year before the college football playoff, they made it to the national championship game against Oregon. And unless I'm mistaken,
I thought it was Cam Newton. I thought Cam Newton played Oregon in the championship.
So maybe was that pre? Yeah, because that might have been pre college football playoff.
I think it was the first year of the college football playoff. Honestly,
oh, was it?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Okay, if that's the case, then they've been there twice.
Oh, okay.
Because I know they played Florida State 1 year and lost. But I think, Scotty, that Texas should be able to compete. But as you mentioned, and I think you and I would agree with this, it really is just coming down to money. It's money.
Yeah.
It's greed and it's money, and Texas knows that if they show up with Oklahoma, the SEC becomes basically the National Football League of college football.
Correct. Yep, you're right. It reminds me a little bit, and I don't want BYU fans to get upset because it's the move I would have made if I were BYU as well. But if BYU wanted to get into the college football playoff, you know, now, or if they wanted to get into the just a New Year's Six game, they go to the Mountain West Conference. I mean, your chance of getting an opportunity to play in those games go up dramatically when you have that conference affiliation. And in a conference where, you know, every 4 to 5 years, or maybe even more, you beat Boise State, which BYU's had their number, and you are undefeated or only have one loss against a schedule that would be fairly easy compared to what, you know, BYU's playing, you know, on a consistent basis, that would be the smart move if that's your number one priority. But BYU wanted to, number one, get better exposure against better teams, and number two, they wanted to make more money. And I would do the same thing if I were them, and it's worked out well for them in that regard. But it's not about getting into that New Year's Six in years past or playing in a college football playoff going forward. You know, it's about other things. And so that's what Texas is doing here. They're like, look, we get more exposure in the SEC, although Texas doesn't really need that. And number two, we get a hell of a lot more money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's their priority at this point.
Well, I know that a lot of people are wondering what happens to the Big 12 if Oklahoma and Texas do, in fact, leave. And I think that that's another area that we need to spend some time on, Scotty, because I can't see the Big 12 holding on to and rebuilding with the teams that are potentially available to build back up to the 10 or possibly get themselves back into 12 if they wanted to work on four teams. I just don't know that if that kind of stuff is out there. But, you know, I could take a look at a basketball conference like the ACC grabbing Kansas and, I don't know, possibly Baylor. I'm trying to think. Kansas and Kansas State. And throwing them into the ACC, making it, you know, grabbing some football but making it a basketball situation. You know, putting them into that conference with Duke and Louisville and you know, the other basketball powerhouses that are in that conference. And then I could see the Pac-12 possibly reaching out, but I don't know if there's anything in there in the leftovers of the Big 12 that the Pac-12 would want to absorb. Can you think of anything that would make sense for the Pac-12?
Not really, no. I mean, Texas Tech, doesn't move the meter. TCU, maybe a little bit. Baylor, not really. Like, there's nothing there. How about this, though? How about if you're the Big 12, you go after Utah and Colorado?
Well, that would make a lot of sense. If you could pillage the Pac-12 and bring Utah and Colorado, that would make a lot of sense.
So you got, if you're the Big 12, you bring Colorado, who's a long-time part of that institution, and then you bring in Utah to get to get a little bit of that foothold with those TV sets.
Yeah.
It's not Texas and Oklahoma by any stretch, but I'm just saying, like, look, this is going to turn into the old Wild West right now, and it's survival. I mean, the Big 12 is fighting for its life. The Pac-12, and you mentioned the ACC, could be pillaging, and they're thinking, okay, well, what can we do? Instead of being defensive, let's be proactive. Instead of looking at maybe, you know, let's get active here to try to protect ourselves.
Just in regards to the Big 12 and their appearances in the college football playoff, Oklahoma has been the only representative since the college football playoff had its first year, and they've been there four times. Oklahoma's been in that college football playoff four out of the 7 years. As you mentioned, Texas has not made it. So the Big 12 without Oklahoma and Texas is deplete of anybody that's made a run for any type of championship over the last 7 years. So I like your thought of Utah and Colorado, but what the Big 12 would have to do is they'd have to appeal to schools that have, you know, at least tried to make a championship run or had championship opportunities. And I'm just throwing this out there for the sake of conversation, Scotty, and I don't think it'll happen, not in a million years. But what if they made a push to get Notre Dame, who's been to that college football playoff two times? Is there any way they could ever talk Notre Dame into joining that conference and bringing all the revenue and maybe even giving them a higher percentage of shares to be a part of that conference?
I just don't think so. I think if Notre Dame were ever to go to a conference, they already have a little bit of a liberal scheduling agreement with the ACC. I think if they go a conference, they're going ACC, not the Big 12.
And I know the ACC has been so good to them. And
yeah,
every time that there's any type of slip on anything, it's like the ACC is like, well, what can we do for you? Anything we can do for you? Open your doors. We'll make you a part of this through the pandemic. And Notre Dame's like, great, fine, thank you. We'll keep our shares, but we'll be a part of the conference. That makes our scheduling a lot easier. They have been super generous to Notre Dame, and I would agree with you. The ACC would be quick to grab Notre Dame, or Notre Dame might be quicker to go with the ACC if they were to ever jump out of independence. But why would they ever do that?
That would be a very Notre Dame thing to do, is to, after all they've gone through with the ACC, say, like, no, we're going to go to the Big 12. It's yeah. Just like...
yeah. That would be way Notre Dame. And then, of course, there's the conversation of BYU and what potentially happens with them in this shuffle. And Scotty, maybe we pick that up on the other side. But I do think that that is a very interesting conversation, because you know BYU is actively looking at what this means to the college football landscape.
Hans and Scotty, this is 97.5 1280 The Zone. I'm here in Vegas at the Mountain West Conference Media Day. We'll talk to some players, including coming up a little bit later on, some players from Utah State, also Boise State, might even catch up with some Nevada players as well. And by the way, the players, this is what happened, Hans, yesterday when we were kind of befuddled a little bit. So yesterday was the coaches, and they announced all the team rankings, preseason rankings. And today, because it's the players that are on the spotlight here at the conference, that's when they announced this morning, just a fact about an hour ago, they announced the players of the year and the first teams for the conferences. So we'll give those to you a little bit later on. Hans and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
The Big Show. The Big Show. With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Chris Mannix, if you're the Jazz, do you just tweak this thing, or do you look for some sort of major deal to make?
I think tweaking is enough. You know, I don't consider re-signing Mike Conley tweaking. That's fundamental. He has to come back, or else this thing is going to take a massive step back. But there's really not a lot of glaring weaknesses to this Jazz team. Mitchell can take over games. The Clippers are a bad matchup for Gobert. That's something they have to fix if they do want to face the Clippers down the line. But Rudy Gobert is still a dominant center. He just needed to nibble around the fringes a little bit, find more depth at key positions, and roll with it. This season was disappointing the way it ended for Utah, but it doesn't say this team is fundamentally flawed. It says they just need to make some minor moves and make sure you bring back Mike Conley.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Thanks for making us part of your day. Coming up a little bit later on in the show at 12 o'clock, we'll be able to hear from Savon Scarver and Shaq Bond from Utah State. Savon Scarver named the preseason special teams player of the year.
Rightfully so.
And, yeah, I mean, he's obviously a tremendous player, tremendous kick returner, and talking to Blake Anderson yesterday, hoping they can also get a lot of good quality production from him at the wide receiver position as well. So, and Shaq Bond, who has been an anchor of that Utah State defense for many years, and he'll be representing the defense here at Utah State. At 12:30, we'll talk to some Carson Strong, who has picked to be the offensive player of the year and the Nevada quarterback. And then coming up at about 12:45, we'll hear from some Boise State players as well. So a lot going on down here at Mountain West Conference Media Day, Hans, but it pales in comparison to what's going on certainly on the national scene in terms of the shakeup of what could be going on with the Big 12 being raided by the SEC and what that might mean for local schools like maybe even Utah and certainly BYU is BYU fans are licking their chops now thinking they might get a chance.
It's interesting. BYU has been in so many different conversations, and every time something like this pops up, it's not just in-state that's talking about, well, what does this mean to BYU? I think it's across the country because everybody loves the look of BYU, but everybody is concerned about what comes with BYU. And, Scotty, for years, I think that that is the only thing. It's not the on-field play. It's not the interest level. It's not the TV market. It's none of that. It's just, well, what comes with BYU? A private university. How much are they willing to share? What comes with BYU? A religious institution. And the way the world has changed over the last 5 or 10 years, you know, where everything is so much more apparent, everything is so much more public, everything is all the information on everything is so much more quickly accessed. BYU has been in multiple negative headlines. I mean, let's just be honest. It's been a really tough transition for them, especially with sexual orientation and the student body and how that's all handled with the honor code and how BYU handles that. It's been front and center. And so that's something that's going to come with BYU. So there are a lot of things that are attached to BYU that every time this pops up, it'll BYU looks like that you know, beautiful girl that you invite to prom and you're like, man, this is going to be great. And then you get to prom and you just realize there's all kinds of issues, all kinds of problems. And I'm not saying that it's not overcomable. And I'm not saying that is absolutely going to leave them out of the pack again after about this will be the 11th season in independence, Scotty.
Yeah. Yep.
So after 11 years of independence, but it certainly feels that way because haven't we kind of gotten used to this?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Not just as a former BYU player and as a guy in you that's been covering this market for years and years and understands it, but I think going even further back, you know, I think BYU fans, and I don't know the exact story, but I think that the Big 12 and the Pac-10 back in the day were options, and BYU was left out all the way back then. Like, I don't know if it was the 80s or early 90s or when exactly it was, but I've had a couple of people talking to me about, well, this has been happening for years to BYU. Realignment pops up. BYU looks like the best thing to invite, and then they get left out for one reason or the other. And so I don't get my hopes up with this anymore, Scotty. Do you get your hopes up that BYU could potentially be invited to, even if it is the Big 12 that's trying to salvage their conference by adding an individual university?
Well, it certainly makes sense. In fact, here's Barry Trammell from this morning who had his thoughts on what would happen if the Big 12 tries to band together and if BYU could be a part of it.
You know, Brigham Young is not independent because it wants to be. It would rather be in a major conference. There's really, you know, I think Southern Cal and Texas, which is posture. So nobody does that willingly. But I do think independence might be a better path than a substandard conference. For instance, if Iowa State or West Virginia gets left out in the cold, they might be better off being an independent than joining a, you know, American conference or a Mountain West or whatever the case may be. Brigham Young made that decision. It seems like a viable decision to me, and I think you might see that with somebody like a West Virginia or an Iowa State or somebody. Now, if you're Baylor or TCU, you're down there in Texas, you could hook up with Houston, whoever else, that you might be better off in the American. I don't know. But independence could come back. Independence almost died. I think at one point we were down to only Notre Dame as an independent, I think. And
maybe a service academy.
Now we're up to 4 or 5. So I think it's worth talking about, no doubt about it. I think, talking about Brigham Young, if the Big Eight, I call them the Big Eight, If the Big 12, those eight, decide to try to band and stay together, they could do worse than adding Brigham Young. To me, that would be, you know, the Cougars have a great following. They have that kind of, you know, you talk about streaming. You don't worry about cable households with Brigham Young. You talk about potential eyeballs on streaming. Brigham Young brings that in a big time way. So I don't think that's something you cast aside. I think that would be an option if they decided to try to stick around and stay together and bring in somebody like a Brigham Young.
Makes sense. And, you know, that goes back to our conversation. Like, there's a lot of things on paper that really make sense. But there was a lot of things that made sense 10 years ago and years since then. So I'm with you. I kind of believe it when I see it, but it does make a lot of sense. And in this cash grab, where everybody's out trying to make as much money as they possibly can, and where they're trying to put as many coins in the coffer as they possibly can, that makes sense. And the attention they bring and the eyeballs they bring, and that's going to be something that's, I think, will resonate as people make decisions out there here in the near future.
I hope so. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see BYU just get that opportunity to bring their Olympic sports as well and to reunify in a conference. And even if it is kind of a remaining put together Big 12, I'd like to see it. I think that there's a lot of commending to be done for the way they've handled independence. They've done a fantastic job, but man, I'd love to see it. Scotty, do you believe that it is? Do you believe when it all boils down to BYU being an independent and BYU not being invited to dance with any type of conference, does it come down to religious discrimination? Is that what it boils down to? Or is there more to it with it being a private university and maybe not being willing to, like, in the actual dealings of, okay, it's time, let's really look at this, come be a part of the conference, now show us your books. No, we need to see how much you're worth. What do you make? Let's see what your institution's all about. I just wonder, is it about religious biases or is there more to it? Like, a lot more to it?
I think yes. I think there's a lot of that, honestly. Of everything you mentioned. And remember, the BYU's got a, when San Diego State sold them out, and you remember, I can't remember, it was an administrator that said, why do you want to talk to BYU? They're difficult to deal with. Mm-hmm. And I remember in one of those semi-annual town halls with Tom Homo, I asked him about that. And I said, what were your thoughts? He goes, well, we are difficult to deal with. We have a certain standard. We do things. We don't play on Sunday. We're private. We're very private with we're a private institution. We're private with our financials. There's a lot of things that BYU does not like to share or will not commit to. And that every other institution in America probably would. And so that makes them difficult. And so there's the perceived difficultness to deal with BYU, and then the actual truth. Look, BYU's not going to bend on the Sunday play. If Tom Homo said, hey, look, I can get us into the Big 12, and we're going to make this much money, and this is going to be great for the exposure, and this is going to be great for our student-athletes and our fans, I just need your permission to be able to play on Sunday. What's the message going to be? No, get out of here with that crap. It's not happening. It's non-negotiable, and we'll shut down sports if you ever ask us to do that again.
Yeah,
like, it's just that there are certain things that BYU, or let's say, hey, the Pac-12 says we can come in, but we got to ditch this honor code thing. I mean, it's a bad look for the other schools. They don't really want to be associated with it, and you know, you need to lessen some of the stances against on some of the LGBTQ things, and they're like, no. No, that's non-negotiable. That's not going to happen. So get out of here with that. I mean, those are the things that BYU's, those are going to be stumbling blocks for them.
Well, that's what it comes down to, Scotty. It really does. It comes down to BYU has always been a beautiful picture of football and competitiveness and interest and polarization and eyeballs and built-in fan base worldwide and so many great things. But they have been this for years and years and years, and as you just mentioned, they never bend. And to be honest with you, being a former player of BYU, I don't want to really see them bend on those things. Like, I don't want to see Sunday play be bent. As far as sexual orientation, I've seen them make a lot of changes to try to be more inclusive and to try to be more respectful of those things. And I'm sure you've seen those too over the last, whatever, 5 years. It's not perfect. It's not perfect, and it can always improve just like we all can. But I have seen them try to do those things to, you know, to try to be a more inclusive university. But still, there are things that over the years that BYU stands for that they're just not going to change. You know, I've talked about my disgust and disdain for the honor code. It does not mean I am disgusted by what the honor code represents. I respect and love what the honor code represents. I love the values that they ask you to uphold. I do. I appreciate that. I've tried to live by most of those all my life. Now, that doesn't mean I have. I'm a typical human that makes terrible mistakes, but I like the values that it stands for. Scotty, what I couldn't stand and what I've never been able to stand is how they handle those offenses. And even those are starting to change. Even those things are starting to change a little bit in that honor code. But we've seen this story on repeat for too many years to look at this and say, oh yeah, BYU, they get the nod. They're going to be that piece that fits and fills the Big 12 to keep them in a Power 5 standing conference. I just can't believe it until, like you said, I see it. Although I would love to see it, I just can't believe it until I see it.
1048, Hans and Scotty, what you may have missed coming up next right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
The Top 60 and 60 is back on the Zone Sports Network. Get your college football fix every day at 1:30 as the Zone counts you down to the start of the 2021 season by listing off the top 60 players in the state of Utah as voted on by the local media. You'll also hear from the coaches as they talk about the players that will impact their season the most. It's the Top 60 and 60, weekdays at 1:30, presented by Cypress Credit Union and ICON on your home of the best college football coverage in Utah. 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
All right, let's go.
You don't have time to watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. By the way, coming up today, we will officially reach the halfway point in the 60 and 60, Hans. We will announce number 31, and I am texting you who it is right now so you can give out a hint because you're much better at the hints than I am.
I just can't believe it, man. I can't believe we're already halfway through our 60 and 60. We worked so hard on this list and getting all the names and then getting the votes and getting all the coaches' audio. And you work so hard on it, and then it just goes like lightning. I can't believe how fast this thing is going. All right, I'll wait for your text to come in.
I just sent it, so.
Before
Hans gets text messages later than we do.
No,
oh, that's true.
It takes him like 10 minutes.
I don't
wait for the satellite to come back around.
It has to come all the way from Vegas.
It's got that.
Yeah, I've already got it.
You got like two ladies on that little switchboard.
I already have it, dude. I've had it for like 5 minutes.
They don't have two ladies on the switchboard.
You seriously don't have it?
No, I don't. Mrs. Olson's on the switchboard cranking it. Changing wires. No, I don't have it yet.
Well, this come from Walnut Creek. No, Walnut Grove. It's come from Walnut Grove.
Yeah, I still don't have it.
Oh, jeez.
Gotta be kidding me.
Are you sure you included me on the text?
Yes. I'll send
I'm looking right at it.
It's on our little group chat there. But
I'll just tell you through your ear, okay?
Okay, tell me through my ear. Oh, okay. Whoa. All right. Oh, yes. So today.
By the way, let us know when that text does come through because I'm really dying. Just
I'm sending out
some purposes.
Smoke, sending out some smoke signals that'll really get there probably quicker.
Stop it. No, it has not come through. I don't think you included me on this text.
As what we found out like a week ago, I'll stuff it into the message next to some drugs on a pigeon and send it your way.
Be looking for a pigeon with a cowboy hat.
Okay, guys, that's enough, man. That's enough. There it is. Just got it.
Woo!
There it is.
You gotta be kidding me.
Okay. This guy is a up-and-comer. The tease I will throw at this guy, he is a legacy player, and I have him projected as a top 3-round pick in the next 2 years.
Wow.
Legacy player, and I have him projected as a top 3 pick in the next 2 years.
Very nice.
So this guy's a baller. And I can't wait to see. Oh, and he did not play this position until he got to college.
Might as well just give us the initials now.
I did not overtease.
Do you anticipate that? Okay. Let me ask you this: Is this a fair, for where he's at right now? Is this a fair ranking?
Yes. Oh, maybe a little bit high. Now, how I project him to be this year? Yes.
Yes.
What we've seen in the past? No.
Okay.
But where I project him to be? Absolutely. I think this is right on the money.
So next year, when we do the top 60 and 60, this guy could be like top 15,
top
15.
10. You nailed it. Top 15 next year. Mark it down. Right. He will be. Hey, for what you may have missed, we've got some business that we need to get to.
Okay, let's do it.
It's now time for Watching the Watch List with Hans Olsen and Scott Girard.
A couple of names to keep your eye on for the 2021 season. Gunnar Romney was just named to the 2021 Biletnikoff Award. And, Scotty, we were making fun of this yesterday, saying, well, everybody's named to these watch lists. Only 51 players named to the Biletnikoff Award watch list.
That's a little bit better.
James Impey was named to the AFCA Good Works team, which it's nominated for stories of exemplary service in the community. And there's only 67 players nominated. And I want to say that takes every college player into consideration, which, what 15,000, 12,000 college football players. So James Impey, fantastic nomination there. Charlie Brewer nominated to the Davey O'Brien Award watch list. And Devin Lloyd nominated to the Benarek Award watch list. So there were a few big names to those watch lists that were included over the last day and a half.
Trying to think the number that they could trim it to on a watch list that would actually make me respect a watch list. I'd say like 10? 15 to 20.
15, 20?
I'd go 20. 20 would be all right.
The problem is if they go, let's say they go 15 or 20, they're going to miss often. They're not going to have the name in the watch list that deserves to win it. And then they're going to be like, well, we didn't see that guy, so we're going to give it to the best guy that was on our watch list before this season got started.
I know he only had 500 yards rushing, but I thought he was going to be great.
I know he was kicked out of the university for bad behavior, but before he was kicked out, he was really good.
He had a 100-yard rushing game.
You're right, Scotty. They do cast a broad net, but
no, he's not right, Scott.
I am right.
Hans.
No, I am
what
right.
What are you
That's
doing?
A pretty broad
no,
net.
No, he's not right. You need to make sure you get the right guy.
Stupid.
I need to look at the Davey O'Brien, how many they include on that.
I don't even think you should include how many they include.
Oh, you don't think?
No,
just
I think,
list.
No.
No, not going
no,
forward.
That's
just
a,
do
that's
list.
A, that, no, that's a really good number
no,
to have.
No, it's not, Scotty. Yeah. It really isn't.
When there's 90 quarterbacks on the Davey O'Brien list, you'd be like, okay, this
Let's
is
Let's just
out
enjoy
of
that some of our local players are on these lists. Yeah. How about that?
You're the one of the 15 that isn't on the list. It's like, oh.
Like, hey, man, what happened?
I'm going to transfer.
Are you going to shame an Aggie for being on the list sitting right there next to Doug? No, you're not going to.
I'm not shaming anybody. I'm just saying that like the list is out of bounds. It's too much.
Lloyd, stop, dude. Don't push him too far, man. He's been kind enough to allow these shenanigans. Stop trying to push him.
Let's be honest here. There's no allowing him. Lloyd's just going to do whatever Lloyd wants, so it's not like I can stop him.
Oh, you can. When you ask me not to do something, I'd stop doing it.
After 10 more times. Like, hey, Lloyd, we shouldn't do that. Let's do it 10 more times, and then I'll stop. All right.
Do you guys remember when we, back years ago, when we had a commercial running for about 2 years, and then all of a sudden it wasn't okay to run the commercial? Yeah, that was on Lloyd.
No,
it was on Lloyd. 100% that was on Lloyd.
Oh,
I'll take it off. Just give me a couple more runs.
No, that promo, I'll fix it. Don't worry, I'll get it taken care of. Yeah. All right, Hans and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone. We'll talk some hoops with Kurt Helan. We've got an NBA champ. What does Kurt think about it? We'll talk about it next right here on the Zone Sports Network.